Thank you for tuning in to the Sermon of the Week with Pastor Tommy A. Murphy of New Bethel Church of God in Christ. New Bethel is a church on the move for God, and this podcast is an extension of the ministry for getting out the gospel to the masses. At the end of the sermon, information will be given of our church's location, phone number, web address, and an opportunity to get this sermon in its entirety. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 7, the word of God declares, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding." Now let's go to the sermon of the week with Pastor Tommy A. Murphy. Be blessed.
What we've been saying about salvation, essentially, that it's just it's a pleasure, it's a privilege for us to be saved. Amen. And there are so many benefits that's listed in the text that we read. The words we've often said as we explain what we're doing. The pericope is the passage that we read. That's the words. That's the verses that we read, verse 1 through verse 5. That's the pericope. The kerygma is the explanation of the text, is when we learn what the Bible says. And it talks to us in this text about being justified by faith, which means you're saved. And then it starts listing or enumerating the things that you have as a saved person, which you don't have as an unsaved person. And it lists that no matter what the word or the world says, you don't have access to these things unless you're saved, because that's what the word said. It says, because of the fact that you are justified by faith. Justified means you're saved. It means that you are just as if you have never sinned. Amen. The world says you're saved if you just good. It never ceases to amaze me how critically erroneous the perspective is of many voices in the world today. And I tell you, the most incredible, the most sought after voices in the earth now are those voices that declare that you don't have to do anything to be saved. And that God doesn't require anything of you in order to be saved or to remain saved, as it were. Amen. They just simply say, everybody can live this life the way you choose to live. And then we all, not necessarily die, but we're all then promoted to heaven. Amen. And you all hear it. You experience it often. You go to a funeral service of someone that had a special life. As a matter of fact, they lived just like they died. And then they'll say at the funeral service, "This person is now dancing around the throne." Now, you know, the deal is at the end of the day, when I watch this, let me turn a corner here. This is what I said about it. Now, really, you don't really know whether they made it to heaven or not, necessarily. We don't really know. We don't know that. But I would encourage you all this. Don't try that at home. Amen. What you don't want to do is say, "That's going to be my model. I'm going to die cussing and expect to wake up rejoicing around the throne." I don't want to try that at home. You don't know if they repented or not, but you just don't want... You want a life that's an example, a life that's a model. Amen. Amen. Don't plan a deathbed confession because your heart just may not get there. Can you just tell your neighbor, "Don't try this at home"? Leave that deathbed confession to the professionals. We're going to do it the Lord's way. Amen. We're going to get saved as quick as we can, as early as we can, and stay saved as long as we can, because we don't want to try that last minute thing. What if you just can't bring your heart around to saying it at the end? You don't want to go out like that. But it says, if you're justified by faith, those things, put that back on the screen real quick. It says, these are the things we have. We have peace with God. That means you're not in opposition to God, but you're on the Lord's side. You hear people saying often in the world, we believe they made their peace with God. The only way you make your peace with God is to be saved. If you're justified by faith, then you have peace with God. through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he goes on, verse number two, and it lists some other things. One, you have peace with God. You're not in opposition to the Lord. But verse number two, it says, by whom also we have access by faith. You have access to God if you're saved. And then you have grace, which is the favor of God. And I've heard a number of testimonies very recently about the favor of God. Grace means it's the unmerited favor of God. And we have, as a saved person, you have favor with the Lord. That's when, you know, the Lord shared with me some weeks ago. We were on our way down the road, my wife and I, and the Lord said, this is the season that he's deposited the house of the Lord or the church into, where we would exhaust our time spending our favor and not our finances. Amen. And so many people that I've talked to have experienced exactly that, that they've gotten favor with God. I experienced it myself, and many of us do. Many of us have our testimonies. Sister Valerie just set the stage for us, how God gave favor. She thought the task was enormous, wasn't sure how it was going to work out, but 30 souls came to the Lord through that effort. The reason why the enemy gave her a hard time is because he didn't want that number of souls to be added to the kingdom of God. Amen. But that's what we realize, that no matter how difficult the storm is, the favor of God always reigns in our lives. But he says we have access to God. Come on, somebody say the favor of God. And I like that too, because it says wherein we stand. We stand in God's favor, which means we don't fall in God's favor. We stand in God's favor. And when God says that we stand, I like that because it gives them the perspective that we're not a person that are just trying to make it. And I said this in the earlier service, dealing with the fact that that we are not people that ever say, you know, we're under the circumstances. Y'all ever heard anybody say that? Come on, tell your neighbor, I don't roll like that. I mean, I'm never under the circumstances, because that's not what the word said. On Wednesday night, I shared about how to get what God has for us. And I said, I think the very first point I made was you have to desire for your life what God says about your life. God says to every one of us, you're the head and not the tail. Tell your neighbor, that's what I desire. Listen, and if in fact you're the head and not the tail, if you are above, that's what I've been waiting for. If you're above only, why are you under the circumstance? I'm above only. Do we believe what the word says?
Yes, sir.
If we're above only, I am never under the circumstance. Amen. Stuff happens in our life, but listen, things don't have to happen in us. They can happen around us. They may have taken your car. Your car is not in you. Your car was hopefully in your driveway or in your garage. But it's not in you. Huh? That means it doesn't disturb your peace if your car gets jacked. I mean, it gets repossessed. Does that make sense to anyone here? And then all we're saying is this. I shared this illustration. One that y'all know about well, you're very familiar with this. And especially in a season like we're in right now, when you know we saw so many sound bites on what the various patrol agencies and the sheriff departments were doing around the region that we're in right now, Lake Norman and Lake Wylie, and and other bodies of water around here. Around the holidays, they do things to make sure that people are doing exercising safety on the water. Because they've had boating accidents, and sometimes boats you become submerged, all right? And that's a problem when the boats take on water, right?
Yes, sir.
And that's the way it is with problems that we experience in our life. If we would just commit, remember, boats can be in the water and they'll be fine as long as the water is not in them.
That's right.
Amen. Does it work better if the boat is in the water and the water's not in the boat?
Yes, sir.
Tell your neighbor, it works better.
It works better.
When I'm in the midst of the problem, but the problem is not in me.
The
only time the boat sink is when the water gets in the boat. The only time you will sink is when the problem becomes internal and not external. Don't let the problem get in your heart, in your life, because you'll sink if you do that. Does that make sense to anyone in here? Amen. To believe that, listen, that's why we're not under the stuff that we're facing. is always external to us. That's why if you look at this text, the Bible says, and these are some of the benefits that the Lord gives to us. It says, not only do we have grace of the favor of God, it says we stand in this. Then it says we rejoice in the hope or the expectation that God's presence is going to come and pulverize every foe that rises against us. Now look at what it says in verse number 3. It says, not only so, not only all these other things that I've just enumerated, but it says, we get happy in the midst of tribulation. That means that I can be in the water as long as the water is not in me. Amen. That means I can be in the storm as long as the storm is not in me. That means I can be in confusion as long as confusion is not in me. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I'm not confused about who I am in the Lord. Amen. Your money can be real funny. Your change. You can be broke, but you can still have the joy of the Lord in your life. Amen. I can still declare that he's God no matter what stuff I experience. And people won't know how to take you. Many times people will know that you're going through a tremendous storm, but you won't look like it. And you sure won't act like it. Just look down your road how good everybody looked at Simmons. You don't have a clue what they're going through. Amen. Now, I wasn't sure if Sister Valerie was going to say she was still struggling with unemployment and all that stuff. But I know she don't look like she's going through all that stuff. Tell your neighbor, I don't look like what I've been through. I just don't. See, that the Lord said he would beautify the meek with salvation. He'll cause you. You just don't have a clue what it took for somebody close to you to get to church today. Some people had to fight their way out the house just to get here. Huh? And they prayed. I mean, they had prayer revival on their way because the gas hand was sunk below the E. Look at your neighbor and tell them, but I made it, but I made it. Listen. And it didn't come in here mad either. Came with the joy. Bells ringing in your song. I'm excited about the Lord. We came. Listen, that's why we came. And we came to give God the glory. And so the Lord said, these are the benefits of salvation. He said, I can get excited in the midst of tribulation. It says, and then he goes on to say, knowing the tribulation and work patient, patient experience hope. And hope never makes us ashamed. Amen. Because what God says, he always does. And then we transition from that to where we are today, just dealing with for the next few minutes about those that in the Word of God in Acts chapter 24. What we're talking about, we dealt with this some last week with Felix and with Festus and with Agrippa. These were men of various reputations that Paul witnessed to. And Paul talked to them about the gospel. In his witness, because he was trying, Paul's heart was seeing these men get saved. And so he witnessed to them so that they could become justified by their faith. Amen? And so he first dealt with Felix. And Paul had already testified before Felix of the false accusations that were against Paul. And he was accused by the high priest and the elders for stirring up trouble in the synagogues among the people. And several days had passed. But now, here he is again standing in front of Felix. This is in Acts chapter 24. If you read 25, you'll see read through 24 and then 25, you'll see the account by regarding Felix. You'll see the account regarding Festus, who I'll mention in just a second. And then in 25, you'll see the account regarding Agrippa. None of these men gave their life to the Lord. And it also makes some comments, too, about the fact that Felix's wife was with him, who was a Jewess, and she didn't get saved either. But they all had their reasons for not getting saved. Now, look at your neighbor. Don't say anything to them because you don't know whether they're saved or not. You don't know whether they plan to get saved or not. But we do want to ensure that all of us are candidates for what God is saying to us in the text. Amen. He said that these men had their reason, and this woman, Drusilla, had their reasons for not obeying or not succumbing or not committing to the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the good news, the God spell, which means good message, is what that says. Now, there's another maybe more protracted message that I share about that deals with the gospel dealing with the kingdom of God. Amen. With God as the king of the kingdom. And we are all members of the kingdom of God, those that are saved. All right. But what he talks about here is the gospel, which deals with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And the significance of that is this, that if, in fact, you're ever going to be saved, you've got to believe the gospel. You got to believe that Christ came. You got to believe that Christ died. And you got to believe that Christ was raised from the dead. Amen. And the important thing about believing that, the important thing about believing that is this, that he's the only person that you'll ever find anywhere in history that that said far in advance what he was going to do, and he backed it up. And what that does is authenticates the fact that he is the Messiah. Amen. He's the one that, listen, laid his life down and he picked it up again on the third day. Amen. And listen, if you believe that, now watch how powerful this is. If you believe that, then you believe what he says about the fact that I'm coming back again. Huh? The Bible says Thessalonians, he says in Corinthians, he says, one in Corinthians says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. The Bible says that he's coming on a cloud and every eye shall see him. Amen. And listen, you can believe what he says. Because he did the ultimate. He said, I'm going to the grave and I'm getting up again. And you know you're a bad boy if you can say, listen, I'm going to die in this season and I'm coming back alive. Amen. Amen? And the world, if the world chooses whether they're going to believe that or not. Now, here is Agrippa. Here is Festus. Here is Drusilla. And here is Felix. Yeah, all of them being presented an opportunity to accept the truth about Jesus Christ, and each one of them came up with a reason why they didn't want to do that. And some of those same reasons are applicable to perhaps your situation. Amen? Now look at your neighbor. Again, don't say a word. You don't know if they have a reason, excuse. You don't know whether they say it or not. Just look at them just for a moment and then look back this way. You got to know that, listen, all through our lives, the Lord gives us opportunity. Drusilla and Felix, it was just not the right time for them. They knew everything that Paul was saying was true, but they were more concerned with the things around them. They said, go your way for this time, and when I have a convenient season, I'll call for you to come and talk to me about the gospel. You know, a lot of times young people don't give their life to the Lord because, let me just say this, depending on where you are in your precious young life, you know, you already got some things planned out. I haven't tried enough stuff yet to give my life to the Lord. Huh? And so this is not a good time. Wait till after I do these five things, then come back and talk to me about being saved. Especially don't talk to me when I just got off to school and, you know, mom and dad ain't around no more. I ain't even trying to get saved right now. I just got out the house. You know, I got to kick my heels up. And this, I remember when I was on campus for the first semester, I would come back to campus, get in the elevator. One time I think I was standing in about a quarter of an inch of beer in the elevator. Yeah, it was over at UNC Charlotte. It was a crazy place. I was one of the first ones. You know how old I was when I first got to school. It was their first experiment with a co-ed dorm. And they had men. They had the little boys. I'm sorry, they had the men living on on one wing and the girls living through this the double doors over on another wing. And it was wild in the dorm, I promise you. It was wild, but so the people that I was in school with, you know, the guy that I talked to, they would tell me, you know, the things that they wanted, they were going to have me doing by the end of the semester. And I just committed that I was going to stay focused and stay with the Lord and all that. And y'all know the end of that testimony. But, you know, I didn't give in to the stuff. I came there for a purpose. And the Lord just impressed upon me this, and it doesn't sound exciting to the young people that are in this room that's just here from school, but the Lord told me this. He said, your assignment was not to be changed, into what they are wanting you to do, but your purpose, it was to effect a change. That means to cause a change to happen in their life. And by the end of that semester, my roommate and his girlfriend was saved. And that was and they're still saved today. You're married now. They were okay. Let me just move on. But they got saved. And love the Lord. And that's the purpose that God had me there on campus for that one semester. That's all I stayed there. And my wife and I, we got married after the first semester that I was there. And thank God. Yes. That worked. Amen. First semester. I stayed there one semester. We had planned to get married. Anyway, it wasn't like an emergency thing. We were planning. That was good. What are you doing? Going home this weekend? Well, I guess I may as well go in and get married while I'm there. No, it was not like that. We planned it. But God has a purpose for every one of us, and we want to be sure that we are doing what God has assigned us to do. Amen? Now, these individuals had no interest in being saved. And what I want to do for the couple minutes I have remaining, if we can do this, is talk about, now we said Drusilla and Felix, their purpose or their position was, it's not time yet. Come back at a more convenient time. And some of us may have that same perspective. Second, Festus, it was his, essentially, his fear of man. And some of us fear what's going to happen to the people in the eyes, our hearts, the people around us if we get saved. Right. Amen? And that could have been something that I could have hid behind when I got off into school. Amen? It could have been a time where I said, listen, I don't want to stick out like a sore thumb, so I'm going to just blend in and do. Now, y'all know my story. I tried some of that stuff. I think I tried to, let me just tell you when I say I tried some, I tried to drink alcohol. And it started with a little 6 ounce or 4 ounce, I don't know what the ounce was, the small can of the little, I think it was Slits or something. It was a little small can. I was 16 years old, and I tried. I put it up to my nose, and I thought, God, this is terrible. And I couldn't, you know, everybody was around. I was at a party, y'all, and you know, at the party, you got to do it. So it smelled so bad, I wanted to throw it out. And then I tasted it, and it tasted worse than it smelled. And I was the tallest one at the party, too. Y'all know that story as well. So I remember ended up giving it to a guy, like I was, being nice or whatever. It just gave the thing away. And that ended my career with alcohol. I said, man, I could never figure out what the deal was. With that, I was riding by an ABC store yesterday and saw people getting out running in the store. And I'm like, what are y'all doing? They buying some Slits, Elder Missy. No, that was my career in the hole. So the state, listen, we've got to ensure that people don't drive what we do like Festus had driving him. And then Agrippa just simply said to Paul, he said, you're very articulate. You really know the word. He said, I was almost persuaded to be saved. How many of y'all know that almost saved is completely unsaved? Amen. Almost found is completely lost. Do y'all believe that? Amen. And these are some of the things I've got to close. These are some of the things that will stop us from getting saved. I wish we had more time to deal with this. But pride is one of the things, one of the key things that will stop us. Because, we believe pride sets in and it says to us that we don't really need the Lord. We don't need to be saved. Why? Because we've got finances. We've got, good health. We've got resources. We've got access to stuff. We really don't need God. Especially if I'm in school and I'm a part of a fraternity or a sorority, I've got my SARAs or whatever we call them these days to do stuff for me. I don't need to pray to get a job. Just call up somebody in the fraternity that I'm in, and they'll hook me up. Amen. And so we don't need God. So pride will stop you. If you believe that your intellect is so superior that I don't need the Lord, I can figure out whatever I need to get through life successfully. Amen? And so as a challenge, pride will stop you. If any area of your life is secure enough, you can convince yourself by your own intellect, by your own arrogance, that you don't need God. But one thing that you'll know, you don't want to leave this earth without the Lord on your side. Pride, listen, in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 through verse 23, pride is a characteristic of Satan. And you look in that verse, look in Isaiah 14, you will see Satan in that verse talking about how he was going to lift his throne above the throne of God. Amen? And this is the end of that. That discourse here. You see that in verse number 12, it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Art thou cut down to the ground? And listen, which dideth weaken the nations," is what that says. Satan talked about how he was going to do five things. Each of those things he said, "I." Whenever you see "I" in the midst, you know that it elevates that which God, listen, condemns. God never wants us, he never called us to be self-sufficient. We are, listen, God-dependent individuals. God said, "My strength is perfected only in your weakness." That means, listen, we declare when we're weak, you're strong. Amen? It's when God, listen, he loves us. That's why when my daughters call on me for something, you know, I want to shine in that moment. You hear what I'm saying? I mean, I don't want, why? Because they're my daughters. They're my children. Just like we're God's children. And God is our Father. You call on him. You hear my daughters tell me they need something. Girl, you know, you think I'm going to try to make it happen? Oh, yeah. Yeah, if I think my wife needs something. Just think, you know, and this is the way we do it. If she said to me, "Look, I want this for dinner," she can't even change her mind. I said, "Well, you can do it if you want to, but I'm going to get you that and what you say next." See, I did want this, but now I want that. No, I'm going to get you that and this. Right. Amen. Listen, just see, that's the way. And the Lord said, if earthly fathers or whatever does like this, he said, how much more would our Father in heaven, listen, give good stuff to them that ask? That's why I say, listen, it's something, y'all, when you're saved. You don't miss out on nothing. You get the best that this life has to offer, and then you get to go and live in heaven for an eternity. Tell your neighbor, "I'm staying with God. I'm staying with God." Listen, we gotta get out of here. But pride is one of the things that will stop us from getting saved. And then not only pride, and we say that's a characteristic of Satan. If Satan is the father of those that are not saved, we don't want to ever be once named, in the same sentence with him. Psalm number 73, verse number 3, it talks about the prosperity of the wicked. And then in verse number 6, it said, it talks about the main characteristic. It's the same as that of Satan. It said, "Pride compasses them about as a chain." Huh? I mean, they wear it like a garment, is what that verse says. You wear pride like a garment. And listen, the thing that I know about that is when a person is prideful, people external to them know their pride. They see their pride and are often repulsed by their pride. Amen? How do you believe the Lord feels then about a person that's prideful? Y'all ever been to lunch with somebody that couldn't stop talking about themselves? You couldn't wait till lunch was over, could you? That's why the Lord said, "These seven things I hate, but the one on the top of that list is pride." You won't go to lunch with them anymore. Every time from that point forward, you get busy when lunchtime comes. Huh? The Psalm number 10, verse 4, it says, "The wicked through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God." God, listen, is not at all, the Bible says, in his thoughts. He ain't even thinking about God. You roll up on a person that, listen, that's prideful. You're on your way to church. And they say, oh, child, look, you still following that mess, that foolishness? Huh? Yeah, go on to church. And then watch, whenever something negative happens in their life, they'll call you up and say, would you just pray with us? Huh? Amen. And now, more than enough for them to accept the Lord, but they recognize, listen, that it is in us. God made us like this. Amen. That there is something in us that which is called a spirit, yeah, that is never fulfilled until God is present in your life. Amen. Your spirit will never be fulfilled without the presence of God. The only thing that satisfies the thirsting of your soul is the Lord himself. Amen. And he made you like that. That's why people exhaust so much stuff. That's how alcoholics become alcoholics, trying to fill a void, trying to reach a certain level of pleasure. You can't satisfy what only God can satisfy. Amen. That's why the woman at the well had all those husbands and she still wasn't satisfied. That should be a message to somebody. Huh? Listen, there's not enough physical relationships for you to get satisfied. You're going to always need another one. You don't hear what I'm saying. Huh? But listen, but only the Lord. When she met him, that's when she got excited. She wasn't trying to tell nobody.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week with Pastor Tommy A. Murphy of New Bethel Church of God in Christ. New Bethel is a church on the move for God, and this podcast is an extension of the ministry for getting out the gospel to the masses. New Bethel Church of God in Christ, under the leadership of Pastor Tommy A. Murphy and First Lady Doris Murphy, is inviting you out to worship with their congregation at 1520 Little Rock Road, Charlotte, this Sunday for three dynamic services, 8 a.m., 10 a.m., and 12 noon. If you want to know more about New Bethel Church of God in Christ, go to our website, www.newbethelchurch.com. Also, if you were inspired by the sermon and wanting to obtain the message in its entirety, call us at 704-391-0365 and let your family, friends, and co-workers know about this podcast by simply logging on to www.praisecharlotte.com on your desktop, laptop, tablet, or smartphone and listen to the Sermon of the Week. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 7, the Word of God declares, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and all in your getting, get understanding.
God bless you, saints of God. This is Pastor Tommy Murphy. I look forward to seeing you there.